Hey Siri, horticultural research and training funding in Uganda.
I didn't find any matching places.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get it quite right. I'm just curious, as we're exploring the options and how to dig down deep in different places, if it's right here in our pockets, and if I chose my words a little bit better, I just might have been able to get that. As I look around this room, and I don't know all of you, but I expect that there's a whole lot more expertise in this room than is here at the podium. It's just a lot of life stories and experiences and knowledge and a lot of favorite sources of funding that you may not be willing to share. But I've been learning a lot, and it looked to me like as the cleanup hitter here, there's probably nothing left to say, because each one of you have probed into areas that are unique and probably a lot of opportunities. One of the things that I wanted to start with, though, is it sounds like we're always talking about grants and we're looking for money. Well, lots of times I think we just need to take advantage of opportunities to go someplace, not necessarily to teach or to train or to help, but to learn ourselves. Because every single place I go, I come back and I say, you know, they paid me to do this, or I was a volunteer, and I came back with much more knowledge than I shared with anybody. And so if you don't have that open mind, stay home. The other thing is, if you're concerned about, you know, travel arrangements and I'm worried about these flights not being on time and everything, if you can't shift into neutral when you walk out the door and get in the car, unlock the door, go on back in the house, because you've lost control. And you think you've lost control from here in the United States. What about if you go someplace else? And a lot of the work that we're talking about is in developing countries, right? And so you better go with at least a suitcase full of patience and understanding, and be prepared to listen, because you're talking with the experts. I remember working with some farmers on the shores of the Nile River in South Sudan, back before the economy and the tribal wars started up in late 2013. Steve Weller talked about it at lunch, and I was there a month before he was. and things are okay, but they've just gone into free fall since then. But the farmers I was working with, the largest farmer had a plot probably a little bit larger than this room. And guess where the water was? Right there. So how can I help him? You know, to raise the soil, you know, get drainage. We talked about simple things like raised beds and crop rotation. But I commended these guys because they were making a living. They said, well, we want to get our stuff to market. How do we get it to market? Oh, wait till the next boat comes by, because there were no roads. There was no infrastructure. We were isolated. And so, in other words, that's kind of the extreme. I think all of us that have done any of these kinds of things have pockets full of war stories to share. Okay, now, if I want to move on, I just click which one? Enter. Okay, I thought I did that.
Is it not one for you? Oh, right here, this one.
Yeah, we'll try it again then.
Oh, sorry.
I probably did something to mess you up, Michael.
Let's see here. There we go.
Okay. Thank you, John, for opening Pandora's box about the opportunities that exist in the CG centers. How many of you know what CG centers are? Let's see a raising of hands here. I thought I should just help you out a little bit here. We put a note here in the bottom. It's the Consultative Group of International Agricultural Research, more commonly known by the acronym CG. Well, there are 15 of these centers, and they've probably got, what do you think, John, about $1 billion, $1.5 billion a year budget funded by World Bank and IMF and countries. They're partners in it. And some of these centers are obvious opportunities for us to be able to cooperate. Now, you may not be able to get on staff, but they're going to need expertise in a number of areas. One of my colleagues at NC State does a lot of work with the SIP, the International Potato Center, and he ended up getting a $12.5 million Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation grant for yellow flesh and orange flesh sweet potatoes, and it's all in the hands of his cooperators in Uganda, Madagascar, Rwanda. And guess what? Last year, they were the World Food Prize laureates. So that's something that you wouldn't have thought of as a channel, but that's an obvious because that's the Potato Center. And the Center for Tropical Agriculture, sure, they're working on a number of crops that we can all identify with. And IITA, International Institute for Tropical Agriculture there in Ibadan, Nigeria, they do a lot of horticultural and fruit and vegetable crops. A lot of root crops, admittedly. But now here's one. World Forestry Center. Who would have thought? Well, in their most expanded programs, they're working in communities, and communities can't live on forestry. They have gardens, so they have garden programs. And I pulled up some of their projects, and here's a, they're working with smallholder farmers in developing fruit crops and how to plant the seedlings. And then there's another one that they have going on in Peru with the apple production, and they're discovering that in these areas where they're operating and in other aspects according to their mandate, the local farmers have a command market. They can, if they grow apples, everybody wants their apples. They don't want Washington apples or Chilean apples. They want the local apples. But that's all through a C4, through the World Forestry Center. So that's not really what you would expect as a place to go. But what I did was like what you did, John. I poked around in there. And I put in keywords like, fruits and vegetables and fruits and vegetables. And sure enough, I came up with a couple of things. Did the same for Warda, Africa Rice, as they call it now. Now, I didn't go into IRI, the International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines, but I expect that they've got some horticultural programs that they probably need some of you right here in this room to be a part of those programs. It may not be on the surface, but you've got to do some homework, and you've got to do some networking to find those things. Bioversity International as well. There will be some opportunities for you. They're not going to be conspicuous. They're not going to jump right off the page. And, of course, the famous CIMMYT, Center for the Improvement of Corn and Wheat, down in Mexico, made famous by Norman Borlaug. They have some horticultural programs down there, not real prominent, but if you will look around, they're gonna need some people like us. And then ICARDA, they had some. This is the Semi-Arid Tropics Research Institute. I believe this is in India. Is that right, ICARDA? Okay, nobody's going to challenge me on that. I'll just move on. I haven't been there. I've only been to about five of the centers, so. I'm ICRISAT. That's right. I guess I'm one ahead. Oh, no, I didn't put it in there. Where is ICARDA then? That's in
Syria.
Where? Syria. Okay. But that's kind of academic. What we're looking at is some opportunities. Those of you that heard John Bowman from USAID talked yesterday about all of the different things that USAID is involved in, saw this slide, and I shamelessly just snapped a shot of it, and it's not good. But the point is that there are 24 of these Feed the Future laboratories, labs. Well, back when I was first introduced to this kind of program with USAID, they called them Collaborative Research Support Programs, and I'm sure many of you remember the CRISP, right? Okay, well now they're all, but there were only about 8 or 10 or 12 of them. Now they've expanded, and this is not just through the State Department and USAID. It is now a program of the U.S. government, so that it's much more broader-based program. So the ones that the innovation labs that that I'm the most familiar with, I helped to actually draft the request for applications for the Horticulture Innovation Lab. I was in Washington, D.C. as a university relations advisor to the Office of Agriculture there in USAID, and so I was the academic, non-career foreign service officer helping to draft this thing, and then we put it out on the street about the time I left, and no surprise, University of California, Davis won the contract, so they're the management entity. Well, they have partners. One of them is here in Hawaii, University of Hawaii, Manoa, and Bob Paul represents that. I represent NC State. We're one of the partners. University of Florida is also a partner in it. So we have a lot of programs ongoing, and you've already heard talk about them yesterday, but when someone just mentioned the Trellis Fund, I think you mentioned that, John, that's an opportunity for students. We've got to be training the next generation. So how many of you are graduate students? Good. Think about doing a Trellis Fund. All right. Good. I shouldn't be advertising that too much because it's limited to the four institutions. But still, that's a great opportunity to... Yes, okay. But we also have SANREM, the nutrition up at Tufts University, sustainable agriculture and natural resource management at Virginia Tech, and IPM also at Virginia Tech, and then the food processing and post-harvest handling at Purdue. And I only include them and highlight them because they do have horticulturally related programs. And it doesn't mean that they're going to put out announcements for all of us to consider. But if you will dig around in their websites, you'll find they may have a special need for someone to help out with a particular project. About 4 years ago, I worked with a man from Colombia and a man from Honduras, and we did an assessment in the western five provinces of Guatemala and Honduras to identify the constraints for horticultural crop production. So we were dealing with the smallest of the small farmers. And this was through the Latin American Caribbean Bureau of USAID. So these things come up when you least expect them. And you also mentioned the, I call them company-managed USAID programs. This is for profit, trust me. It's really for profit, but they have a lot of opportunities too. Windrock International, DAI, FinTrack, Abt Associates. How many of you have worked with any of these companies? Yeah, and there will be more opportunities. Good. I've only got two left. We had an interesting experience back in 1997. I was in Bolivia, in Cochabamba, on a farmer-to-farmer program, and I learned about the CONCADE program, the counter-narcotics program, and I thought, boy, this sounds like NC State, but I knew I'd never get any support from the dean. But I decided that there were probably two major competitors, DAI and Windrock, and I decided to go to DAI Bethesda, and I sat down and talked with them, and I convinced them, I thought I did, that... Well, I did. I said, I think your proposal would be strengthened if you would have one of the land-grant universities in your program. You got Maryland right here. You got Penn State. You got Virginia Tech. And this is our experience in that region. Well, they bought it. So we got a $4.5 million subcontract out of their $80 million project. So we manage the program's agricultural components in the Chapati. So, how do you discover these opportunities? You got to look beyond horticultural programs. You got to look beyond agricultural programs. Do your homework. Dig deep. Network, 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 network. Not just here, but go places that they're not even talking about horticulture or agriculture. And market, market, market your credentials. Don't be timid. Not just yours, but for your institution. And of course, be creative. How'd that do? Yeah.
We have about 3 minutes of time for questions.
I'll share my question time with you, Dr. Gu. I'm sure we didn't answer everything. Excuse me. Thank you.